Well, I know some of you might be shocked that we're actually looking at five verses in Isaiah chapter 49 today. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 through 18. Let's read this now. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste go out from you. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather. They come to you. As I live, declares the Lord, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them on as a bride does." It's so easy for us sometimes to think that God has forgotten us when things aren't going well. Just recently, while I was suffering from COVID, and with Barbara in the hospital, it felt as if God had forgotten us. In the fog of that disease, I found that I couldn't concentrate. Each day I struggled to read my Bible, and it felt as if my prayers were disjointed and unintelligible. I also found during that time that my mind wandered to the worst, the very worst. Knowing that this disease has killed thousands, and with Barbara and myself suffering, my mind wandered to such things as who would take care of our dog Rusty should we both pass? Or how would our children be able to decipher our financial affairs? For several days, I have to admit, I was in a dark place, a very dark place. Why would God do this to us? What have we done wrong? Would we ever see His light shine upon us? Honestly, during that time, I found myself at the bottom of a deep pit where light did not shine. It must have felt the same way for the people of Isaiah's day, and even possibly for Isaiah himself. Their northern neighbors and brothers, the nation of Israel, had fallen to the Assyrian Empire. And even though the Assyrians were not successful in conquering Jerusalem, there was the imminent threat of the Babylonian Empire. It seemed as if God had hidden himself from them, and that they had nothing to look forward to but judgment and punishment. Even Isaiah was probably wondering what God was doing, having been told that he could preach and prophesy, but that nobody would listen, nobody would understand his warnings. Just as I felt while suffering from COVID, the people of Judah thought that God had forgotten them, that he was no longer their deliverer. As I said, this was a very dark place. A very dark place indeed. Now how about you? Do you sometimes think that God has forgotten you, that he no longer cares for you? If not because of disease, then maybe you're suffering from financial difficulties, or job problems, or family discord, or some other malady that we might not even know anything about. You open your Bible, but no message of hope comes from it. You pray, but it feels as if your prayers are bouncing back to you from the ceiling. Now, I don't know if that is the case for you. I hope not. But if so, I want you to see today that God has not forgotten you and that he still cares. We see in verse 14 the complaint of the people of Zion, the people that lived in Jerusalem, the city of Zion. They say that the Lord has forsaken them, that he has forgotten them. This is a natural reaction when things are going wrong. and mainly because we have such a myopic view of the workings of God. We tend to view everything through the lens of our experience and how it applies to us. We personalize all that is happening. We don't often see the big picture, but instead fixate on the here, the now, and on us, to the exclusion of all others. After all, we think, isn't it all about us? Aren't we the important ones? Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but actually, no. You really aren't as important as you think that you are. We're told in Scripture not to think more highly of ourselves. We're told that we are to humble ourselves before God, not to be prideful. And as a result, we should be willing to accept whatever comes from God's hand, whether it's good or whether it's bad, for good or for ill. And what we often miss, to our own hurt, is the fact that suffering and problems are often used by God to make us more like Christ, to mold us into people who look like Him, to prepare us to inhabit the kingdom that is to come. The people of Judah were suffering because God was working in their midst to change them. He was doing a job of purifying them and of curing them towards their bent towards idolatry. He was developing them through His chastisement. He was making them to be the people from whom the Savior, Christ, would come. In other words, they didn't like what He was doing to them at the time. But if they would just trust in His wisdom, they would have seen that His purpose was much larger, far larger, than their personal comfort and personal satisfaction. In response to their complaint that He had forgotten them, God then asks them a question. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? In other words, can a woman stop loving her child? Now, it is true that there are always exceptions to the rule, and that there are some women who are terrible, terrible mothers. But in general, there is a special bond between mother and child that endures, and endures even beyond life. I never once doubted my mother's love, even when she was punishing me for my transgressions. I cherished those times when she was near, so loving and caring with all her words and actions. I always knew that she wanted the best for me. And I would give almost anything for the opportunity to spend just another hour with her. This is true for most mother and child relationships. They are forged in something that endures, something that can never be broken. And to take it one step further, God follows up by saying that maybe a mother can forget her child, but that He will never forget His children. Even these may forget, yet I will never forget you. That is a promise to cling to. A mother may forget her child, but God will never, ever forget one of His children. He is always faithful and always caring, even if it is our perception that He is distant and uncaring. In the first half of verse 16, we see some of the most beautiful words that have ever been penned. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now look at that again. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. What a great and vivid picture of God's watch care over us. He cannot forget us, for we are engraved on His palms. Now think about how many times in the course of a day that you look at your palms, you look at your hands. Now, what if the name of your most precious companion was engraved on those palms? Do you think that this would call them to remembrance each and every day? Do you think that they would always, as a result, be in your thoughts? This is what God has done. He has engraved His beloved on the palms of His hands. As a result, we are always before Him. Not only that, but we know how He has come to engrave us on the palm of His hands, palms of His hands. Think about the scars that our Lord Jesus wears on His palms. Those scars are the product of the greatest demonstration of love that this universe has ever witnessed. He who knew no sin endured the execution that was deserving of the worst type of criminal. Nails were driven through His hands and feet to hang Him upon a cruel Roman cross of execution. Yet He was not placed there without His consent. They didn't force Him to the cross. He went willingly to the cross. So great was His love for His children. Knowing that only the sacrifice of His precious blood upon that cross could atone for our sin, He set His eyes on the cross throughout His entire earthly ministry. We are engraved on the palms of His hands as a result of His crucifixion. His supreme act of love sealed us forever in His scars. He cannot look at His hands without remembering those for whom He died. You know, we're going to inhabit perfect bodies in the new heavens and the new earth. And the only imperfection that will endure for eternity are those scars that Christ obtained when He offered Himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as He offered Himself as a sacrifice, as He offered Himself as the atonement and payment for our sins. Do you see how full of love and care this is? Do you now realize that He can never forget you if you are His? There is a beauty and a wonder to this that will take all of eternity for us to fully comprehend. So great is its magnitude. We are engraved on the palms of His hands. For the people of Zion, the people of Jerusalem, their city was a reminder of God's working. It was God who gave victory to His people when they took this city from the Jebusites. It was God who had given the pattern for the temple to King David, who then passed it on to his son Solomon, who then built that temple. For the Jews of Isaiah's day, that temple represented the presence of God in the midst of His people. That's where God dwelt among them. It was the place where they met with God. It was the place where the daily and other periodic sacrifices were carried out in order to please God. This was the place where the priest, the high priest, offered that great sacrifice of the Day of Atonement each year. Each time that the people looked at the temple, they were reminded of the great works of God. But the destroyers would come. And in 586 BC, the city was taken, and the temple was torn down. God knew that these destroyers would come, for it was He who sent them to carry out His great purpose of cleansing. Far too long, the people had engaged in rote worship, just going through the motions. They had no heart for their worship. The temple had actually become a talisman for them, no more important than a lucky charm like a rabbit's foot. Now, God was concerned with the walls when they were built. He was concerned that this house would be a place where He would be worshipped in spirit and truth. He was also concerned with these walls when they were destroyed. And he would also be concerned with them when they were rebuilt following the Babylonian captivity. But his main concern was that the people would see the temple as what it truly was. Not a good luck charm, not a talisman they could cling to, but rather a place where they could meet personally with their Redeemer. A place where they could worship Him and enjoy Him and love Him. The destroyers are gone now. And it is only the work of the builders that remains. They rebuild in haste because this place is important. The people are coming back. They are returning from their captivity. They need to gather again and meet with their God. They need to meet with Him in worship. Lift up your eyes. The captives are returning. And they need a place to worship. Get busy. Rebuild now that the destroyers are gone. More than that, since the Lord lives, and because He has a grand eternal purpose, we see a new metaphor introduced. We see a bride adorned with her wedding finery. More than that, it is the people themselves who are adorned as the bride. They actually are the beautiful ornament. Now we need to look beyond Isaiah here in order to understand what this is saying. Christ Jesus is redeeming a bride for Himself. A bride that will be beautiful and purified and treasured. This bride is made up of all the redeemed of all the ages. These are the ones who have been in captivity to sin. But now they have been set free, and they have made it back into His presence by His work. Lift up your eyes and see, the people are coming. They are coming from every corner of the planet. They are coming from every level of the social strata of all the nations. Rich and poor, white, black, brown, and every shade of skin color. People speaking all the different languages of the world. They are coming. And as they come, they are being built into the temple made without hands. The temple made by the will of God. The place of worship where they meet with God. They're coming into what we know as the church. And those who make up the church are being molded into a bride for Christ. A beautifully ordained bride for their master. You see, He cannot forget His children, for they are far too precious to Him. It might seem that we have been forgotten, but that is only a flaw in our perception. He has never, will never, forget those on whom He has set His love. They are engraved on His palms. They, the ones that make up the church, are the building that He is building for His own glory, a new temple fit for His habitation. They are the beautifully ordained bride that He has paid so much to obtain. He cannot forget them, for they are the people that He cherishes. He has far too much invested in them to forget them. He has purchased them at the price of His own life. It was for them that He suffered on that cross. It was with them in mind that He endured the insults and the pain and the suffering and the humiliation that was heaped upon Him. His very life blood drained out as a sacrificial offering on the altar of God's judgment as He hung on the cross in order to obtain that bride, in order to build that temple known as the church. They were a people undone, unlovely, unloving, a people who were dead in trespasses and sins. But He loved them back to life. They were His sworn enemies as everyone outside Christ is. But he has won them over with his love. They are the object now of his affection. They are the apple of his eye, the great treasure that is beyond any earthly price. He suffered and died to obtain them. And then he rose from the dead in order to conquer death on their behalf. He is now calling them out from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and building them into a holy temple for his habitation, a bride upon whom to lavish his love. He calls out to them through the proclamation of the gospel, calling on men and women, boys and girls everywhere to turn from their sin and repentance and to place their full faith and trust in his finished work and his finished work alone. He is also using us who are in the church to proclaim his gospel, that glorious good news that he has destroyed the destroyers and that he offers life, life eternal and enduring in his loving presence. He cannot forget them, for they are engraved on the palms of his hands. Recognize this is not a tattoo that could be removed with a laser, but it is instead an eternally enduring witness, the scars of his suffering that show his love for them. Do you see now that you can never be forgotten by God if you are his child? If you have been born anew in him, if you have repented of your sin and trusted in Christ, you are always on his mind. A mother may forget her children, but he will never forget his. Now there may be dark nights when we think that we are forsaken, but that can never be. Nothing, as the Apostle Paul tells us at the end of the 8th chapter of Romans, nothing, absolutely nothing, can ever separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing. Life, death, present, future, sin, enemies, there is nothing, not even ourselves, that can separate us from the love of Christ. We are his. We are his now, and we are his for eternity to come. A people for his possession. A people for his glory. Fellow saint, fellow believer in Christ, I pray today that you fully comprehend that he can never, ever forsake you. That he cherishes you as his bride, his beautiful bride adorned in his goodness and his glory. That you are being built into the temple for his worship. That you are engraved on the palms of his hands. That you are never forgotten. Never forsaken, you are his and his eternally.